The key to conditioning physically is how quickly you can bounce back after you feel fatigue. The key to conditioning mentally is how quickly you can bounce back after you experience a disappointing situation.
StayAllDay.com. Pretty exceptional.
Work on your game.
I like the approach.
Work on your fucking game.
Everybody has relates to what Dre's saying in a different way.
Work on your game.
I like the way he thinks.
Work on your fucking game.
I like the frameworks that he's put together.
Work on your game.
And I would highly recommend it to anybody that's trying to work on their game.
Work on your fucking game.
I think it's a good approach. It's a different approach, too.
Hey, you, work on your game.
Gave me something really good.
Work on your game. DreAllDay.com.
And his philosophy makes a lot of sense.
Not only work on your game, perfect your craft.
Work on your game.
He knows how to communicate in such a fabulous way.
I can't say it enough.
Work on your game. You are now tuned into the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there even when the success you expected to achieve has yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative, that is the go-getter energy that moves any one of us, including yourself, to go and make things happen instead of wait for things to happen. And then we put all this together into a series of frameworks, approaches, insights, strategies, and techniques all underneath the umbrella of one unifying philosophy that is called Work on Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day, and welcome to the show. And today's topic is, we are getting into part two of our series on the Big Five Personality Traits. Before we get started, I'll remind you, send out a text message every day called the Daily Motivation, every week called the Monday Motivation, guaranteed to have you focused, sharp, and on point. Just text me, so when we get those texts going again, you'll be getting them straight to your phone, guaranteed to do exactly what I just told you they were going to do. Secondly, Work on Your Game University. That is the place where I do all of my coaching. It's the only place I do any coaching. Good news is we make it very simple and very easy for you to get involved. All you got to do is go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. You can see right there on that page exactly what we are doing, who exactly we are helping, who we've helped in the past, who we're currently helping. And you can schedule a time to get on a call with us so we can talk to you about how we could possibly help you, what you feel like is in your way right now, where you want to go. And then we'll tell you how everything works from there. So again, that's at workonyourgameuniversity.com. That link is down below in the description as well. So if you want to work with me directly, that is the way to do it. That is the place to do it. That is, again, workonyourgameuniversity.com. So with all that out the way, let's pick up right where we left off yesterday. We are part two of two. This two-part series on the Big Five Personality Traits. And again, the Big Five Personality Traits is not something that I made up. This is something that has been around for decades before I was even born. And these traits are not a good or bad, a yes or no. These are just higher and lower for different people at different times and in different situations. We can all vacillate on these traits. So now picking up on point number four. Number four is agreeableness. Now, this is the one that I was talking about back when I did episode number 1698, why being disagreeable is the key to your success. Agreeableness refers to being trustworthy, altruistic, kind, affectionate, and having other pro-social behaviors, as they say. Now, I'm not telling you to being the opposite of that is the key to success. There's a specific part of disagreeableness that I was referring to back in episode 1698, and I'll get into that in a moment. But people high in agreeableness tend to be more cooperative rather than competitive. High agreeable people tend to have a great deal of interest in other people. They tend to be more caring and empathetic. They like helping people, and they always look to assist others who are in need. That's how you describe high agreeable people. Now, people who are low in agreeableness, the disagreeable folks, they take little interest in others. They don't really care about other people's feelings. They don't pay much attention to other people's problems. They may tend to have an insulting or belittling tone to their speech, and they can become manipulative in order to get what they want. Now, again, episode 1698, I talked about tapping into your disagreeableness for success with good reason. And the reason why I brought up episode 1698 and why I mentioned disagreeableness as a key to success is because most people tend to follow what other people do. And this is how most people end up average. And when you decide that you will not do what other people are doing, and you're consciously and intentionally going against the grain because you see this is what everybody else is doing, so you know what, I'm going to do the opposite simply because it seems like a safer bet to become success, you are by definition disagreeing with the masses. That is disagreeableness by definition. So you will lean more towards the disagreeable end of the spectrum. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't be a caring, empathetic person. It doesn't mean you can't care about other people, or want to help other people solve their problems. Because if you work in a client-based business, which is what many of the people who I work with, they have clients in their business, you better have some level of caring and wanting to empathy and wanting to solve other people's problems. You better have some of that in you, otherwise you ain't gonna have much of a business. But so if you don't care about other people's problems, you can't help them solve them. At the same time, that doesn't mean you need to care about every single problem of every single person, because those are not all your business. So again, there is a balance here that depends on the situation and with whom you are dealing. Now, if you're working with me, you're a member of Working Your Game University, I do care about your problems that I am signing you up to help you solve them, because that is literally my business. So the better I help you do, the better that I do. But that doesn't mean I care about every problem out going on in the world. I am not out to solve world hunger or homelessness or the water shortage. I'm not saying that they're not problems. I'm not saying that hopefully they do get solved, but I'm saying it ain't my business and I'm not making it my business to get it solved. Now, if you want to go solve it, go ahead and solve it, and I will clap for you when you get it done. But do not try to enroll me in solving that problem, because I have decided that is not my business. See, people who are or who tend to be higher on a disagreeable scale have this ability to compartmentalize where, okay, these are the problems that I am going to solve. These are the problems that I'm not going to solve. And I'm drawing a clear line between the two. And I don't give a damn what you think about that line. That is by definition disagreeableness, because agreeable people, again, they tend to present, as they say, pro-social behaviors. These are people who are altruistic, meaning they're always trying to help everybody. They want to solve every problem. These are people who tend to lean towards kindness. Even when someone could deserve to be cussed out, they try to be kind. I'm not that type of person. Someone deserves to be cussed out, then they make it cussed out or some equivalent. Let's just say that. Tend to be more affectionate. They tend to be more cooperative rather than competitive. Well, I come from the sports world. Sports is by definition competition, where there is a winner and a loser. It is black and white. It is a finite game. I come from the finite game, and I will never not be from the finite game. So I definitely am more competitive than I am cooperative. People who tend to, agreeable people, as they say, have a high interest in other people. I can be interested in other people when I want to be, but it depends on who that person is and why I will want to be interested in them. Am I just naturally interested in people just because? The answer is no, I'm not. This is why, again, I go to a gym. There's a lot of people in the gym. I know people notice me in the gym because I'm always there. Am I really interested in all of them just because they're people? No, I'm not. Now, there are some people there who I may be interested in for different reasons, but I'm not interested in all the people just because you're a person. Like, what am I going to get out of being engaged with you? If I don't see what I can get from being engaged with you, then I'm not talking to you. I don't want to talk to you. I'll say hello to you. I'll be polite, but we're not going to have a deep conversation and probably not going to become friends. It's just what it is. And again, it's not bad or good. It's just what it is. People who tend to be more caring and empathetic. I am not a highly empathetic individual. I can be, again, for certain people, for certain reasons, but am I just generally empathetic of people? No, I'm not. I'm the type of person where they say, well, this person right now in the United States, as I'm recording this, it'll probably still be happening by the time you hear this, which will be, who knows, 6-8 weeks after I record it. There's an issue in America where there are immigrants coming into our country who are coming into the country illegally, meaning they are not documented. They do not have proper documentation to even be staying in the United States. But for whatever reason, they are being allowed to stay in the United States. And even worse, they are being given housing by local governments in America. You all heard about this? Some of you may live in towns where this is happening, that there are illegal immigrants who are in the country now. They should just be kicked out of the country just for being here illegally, right? Because isn't that the law? At least I thought it was. But not only are they being allowed to stay, they're being given housing. So people are opening up housing, whether it's the government or it's private owners of housing, are opening up housing and giving beds and housing and shelter to these illegal immigrants in the United States, while the American citizens who are homeless and don't have a place to stay, they are not being given housing. Right, that is crazy to me. I think that's crazy. And there are people, again, who are higher on the agreeableness scale, at least they are pretending to be. And we never know what a politician, because politicians, by definition, have to be liars in order to hold their jobs down. At least in America, they are at least presenting themselves as being these altruistic individuals who are just empathetic and everyone deserves to have a roof over their heads. I mean, it sounds good, but in practice, something still doesn't make sense, because what about the citizens who are homeless? Y'all never did anything for them. You never opened up buildings for these people. But all of a sudden, we got food, clothing, and shelter for people who don't have a place to stay. Where was this for the last 20, 30, 50 years when there were a bunch of homeless people who needed a place to stay? Nobody was being helped out. But now these illegal immigrants are coming to the country and all of a sudden we're just opening everything up to everybody. That doesn't make sense to me. If it makes sense to you, That, you tell me how it makes sense. Explain to me how that makes sense. It doesn't make any sense. That's the point. And again, my disagreeableness is I'm cutting you off at the knees. You even give me an explanation because that makes no sense. Despite all the YouTube, basketball, even this show, I started as a writer and I am still a prolific writer. As a matter of fact, I send out emails damn near every day. I call this the Daily Game email. I want you to get this every day to your inbox completely for free. So simply go to workonmygame.com. That's workonmygame.com and get my emails directly to your inbox every day, free of charge. Again, that's workonmygame.com. If you're a longtime listener, you might know that I've been drinking AG1 since early 2023. Best thing about my introduction to AG1 was that I was able to eliminate all these extra supplements and pills that I was taking every single day, because AG1 is a foundational nutritional supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. AG1, since 2010, has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. Not only did I replace all those extra multivitamins and pills with AG1, but I love that every scoop also includes a bunch of other good things that you need. All you had to do is read the label. It's right there on their website, which I'll give you in a second. That includes everything you need and more every single day. And since AG1 is a supplement that I trust to provide the support that my body needs daily, and that's why I've been a partner for so long, if you want to take ownership of your health, understand it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. That's drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. Check it out and thank yourself later. Anyway, moving on to point number 5. We are talking here today about the big 5 personality traits. Number 5 is neuroticism. Neuroticism. This is characterized by sadness, moodiness, and emotional instability. People high in neuroticism tend to experience severe mood swings. They can be really happy one minute and just completely despondent and depressed the next minute, or at least appear depressed. They tend to have anxiety. They're just anxious about everything. They can be highly irritable for no reason, and they can become extremely sad, again, for seemingly no reason. These people tend to experience a lot of stress, distress, the bad kind of stress, not you stress, the good stress. These people tend to worry a lot. They get upset very easily. These are the type of folks who, they get a couple negative things said about them and they turn the comments off on their social media pages, or you challenge them or challenge something that they said on their posts and they mute you or they block you so that you can't say anything else to them. I've had people mute and block me on social media just because I asked a logical question to something that they had asserted. I didn't attack them. I just asked a logical question. Like, what you said doesn't quite add up. So let me ask this question and I end up getting blocked. I've had this happen many times. These people are displaying neurotic behaviors. Now, I don't know if they're neurotic people because I don't know them, but that's just an example. These are people who experience dramatic mood shifts. Again, they can be very happy and then very sad minute by minute. I knew this woman once years ago. This had to be about maybe close to 10 years ago. And she was extremely neurotic, where she could be talking to me and be fine, having a normal conversation. But then 5 minutes later, I introduced her to somebody that I know, and she was just completely like bipolar. She might have actually been bipolar. I don't know. I don't know if she was clinically bipolar, but this bitch was crazy, where she would be completely happy and normal and calm 1 minute. And 5 minutes later, I would introduce her to someone. She would just glare at the person and say nothing to them, just turn her back on them. And I'm like, bitch, I just introduced you to somebody that I know. What the hell is wrong with you? Like, this was how she was. This is neuroticism. So that's a symptom, let's just say, of neuroticism, these dramatic mood shifts. And people high in neuroticism struggle to bounce back after stressful experiences. So they go through challenging times, and instead of taking a minute to get over it, it takes them a year to get over it. So just with this description alone, I can tell you on neuroticism, I am way on the opposite end. All right, this one, I do not vacillate on this one. This is one where I'm 100% on the opposite end of neuroticism, whatever that is, that's me. So I am a person who do not experience much sadness. It could be a death in the family. I'm not going to feel that sad. I mean, I can feel a little bit of sadness, but it's not going to be deep sadness. It's not going to last long. I'm sorry. So anybody in my family, I'm telling you, I'm apologizing to you ahead of time. Before you die, I'm not going to feel that sad when you pass away. Moodiness, I'm not that type of person. Emotional instability, definitely not that. I tell you here on the show, you're in the emotional management business. So this is something I preach to you. So I definitely am not an emotionally unstable person, but I've known some people who were. But I'm a person who has a strong grip over my emotions, I guess is the best way to say it. Doesn't mean I don't have them, but I just learn how to control and channel the emotions. And this is something that I tell, especially people who aren't entrepreneurs, that you must have strong control over your emotions because of the nature of the game that you decided to be in. As far as anxiety, not too much of that. Anyone can be irritable depending on the situation. Let's say you don't get enough sleep last night, then you can be irritable. So that can happen to anyone. So that one is not that strong of a symptom. Stress, distress. Again, when you control your emotions, then distress cannot overtake you too much. Eustress, the kind of stress that you create on purpose. Now, you do get a lot of that, but that's not in this neuroticism description, let's say. Worrying is not something that I do at all. I remember hearing Napoleon Hill in one of his lectures. He talked about that how when he talks about the traits of successful people, that they tend to not worry about anything because worrying about something is not going to change the situation. Worrying is just putting a down payment on failure. You're feeling sad before the thing that you're worried about even happens. So if it's going to happen, it's going to happen anyway, whether you feel sad about it or not. You can feel happy right now and the thing is still going to happen. What's the difference? So I tend to not worry at all about pretty much anything, no matter what the situation is. I do not get upset easily. Don't have dramatic shifts in mood. And when it comes to bouncing back after stressful experiences, I talked about this in my book, Work on Your Game. The first chapter is called Mental Conditioning, or Cardio for the Mind is what it's called. It's about mental conditioning. And I talk about this even in my keynote speeches, that the key to conditioning physically is how quickly you can bounce back after you feel fatigue. The key to conditioning mentally is how quickly you can bounce back after you experience a disappointing situation. So this is why I just told you, any friends are listening to this or family members listening to this, when you die, I will show my respect. I might come to your funeral, I might send flowers, but I ain't going to feel that sad for that long after you pass away. I'm going to move on and keep going. And I'm telling you that up front because that's just the type of person that I am. So I will not be down, even though the stress of you dying has occurred and I'm aware of it. And how quickly you can bounce back is a sign of your mental cardio strength. Let's just call it your mental cardio, for lack of a better term here. So people on the low side of neuroticism, as we move on to the flip side of this, I just gave you a description of myself. I already told you I'm on the low side. We tend to be more emotionally stable, meaning our emotions we don't ride an emotional roller coaster. Our emotions tend to be pretty steady, regardless of what's happening. So we don't seem to get too high when things are going good. We don't get too low when things are going bad. And some people who tend to be more neurotic, they tend to have more emotional highs and lows. They tend to look at people like us. I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine just 2 days ago about this very thing. And she is a person who is high on the emotional display. She just tends to show her emotions a lot stronger and express them a lot stronger. She was asking me about, well, why don't you show your emotions so much? And I was explaining to her that this is not some rare thing, that there are people who don't show their emotions. I would say it goes about 50-50. Maybe you just don't know enough of them. And was explaining to her this. So I'm that type of person who, no matter what's happening, I'm not going to be that high or that low. These are people who deal well with stress, even a negative kind of stress. They are rarely do you see these people sad or depressed, people who are low in neuroticism. They tend to not worry about hardly anything. Even if there's a crisis on hand, they seem to not be worried. Doesn't mean the crisis isn't happening. They just don't get worried about it. And these people tend to be relaxed, even keel type of individuals. Again, this is me to a T, this type of person I am. And this is the one that I am most clear on, that I am absolutely on the low end of neuroticism. I've never been on the high end of neuroticism, at least not as long as I've been consciously aware of my thoughts. So this notion of neuroticism is one of the first things that we handle, and eliminating the neuroticism is one of the first things that we handle when you come into Work on Your Game University. So if you're a person who is highly neurotic and you love it and you want to stay there and you don't want to fix it, don't come to Work on Your Game University. You are not a candidate for what we do. But if you are highly neurotic, or you find yourself to be in the middle, or you're low, or you want to stay low or get low, come into Work on Your Game University, because the very first thing we're going to do is deal with this. Because when you step into the entrepreneurial space, all right, this is the jungle. You have no safety net and you need to be low on the neuroticism scale. Otherwise, the stress and the anxiety and the fear and the worry will destroy you before your business even has a chance to take off. So we must deal with this. So we're going to get rid of all the emotional roller coaster. No more roller coaster. No more mood swings. No more anxiety. No more stress. No more worrying. No more beating yourself up. And every other emotional habit that you have that is taking you out of your mental flow state, we're getting rid of all of that shit as soon as you come into Work On Your Game University. I promise you that. That's the very first thing we're going to do. So as I said, I'm going to go on this end. And if you plan on being an entrepreneur, you need to join me on the low end of the scale, because anxiety, stress, fear, worry, emotional mood swings, the emotional roller coaster, you can't have all that and be an entrepreneur. All right? It's not possible. Those two don't go together. What's going to happen is you're going to end up dying from heart issues when you're 28 years old or 35, simply because you were not able to manage the challenges and stresses that come with being an entrepreneur. You must be able to handle this, or you're going to have a very short life and your business is going to have an even shorter life, because entrepreneurship, folks, requires a strong stomach and a strong mind. And that means you can't allow circumstances send you swinging in all different directions. So that can't happen. You know those days in your life when you don't really feel like being at work, you don't really feel like doing the job that you're required to do, but you have to do it anyway? Yeah, those days. We call those days the third day. Everyone has them, no matter what it is that you do. And you need to, if you're going to be a professional, have a system for getting through those days, because they're going to happen. I wrote a book called The Third Day, The Decision That Separates the Pros from the Amateurs, that systematically and strategically coaches you on how to get through those days so you can give your best effort when you least feel like it. I will give you a free copy of the book. Again, it's called The Third Day. All you have to do is cover the shipping and go to thirddaybook.com. Again, that's thirddaybook.com. Get a free copy of that book, How to Separate Yourself, the Pro, from the Amateurs, by showing up and giving your best effort when you least feel like it. Just go to thirddaybook.com. Point number six. Today's topic, again, we are talking about the big five personality traits. Now, we've gone through all five traits, so what's point number six? Point number six is about, what do you do with all this information? Now that you know these things, what do you do with this? Well, first of all, you need to rate yourself on each of these five and ask yourself, where on the scale are you? So going over the five points, let me pull up what I had in yesterday's points. Going over the five that we have here. So we have number one is openness, imagination, and insight. Number two is conscientiousness, preparing, scheduling, doing things ahead of time, all about attention to detail. Number three is extroversion. How much do you like being the center of attention and have everyone and everything focused on you? Number four is agreeableness. How trustworthy, altruistic, kind, affectionate, having what they call pro-social behaviors. Number five is neuroticism. How much do you worry? Do you feel fear, anxiety, allow yourself to be stressed, have mood swings, and ride the emotional roller coaster? So the better you understand where you are on these, on the scale of each one of these, and again, it can swing from day to day, moment by moment, but the better you understand where you exist on this scale, the better you will not only be able to help yourself, but also the better you can help others, because you can see how you are coming across to other people and how other people are perceiving you. And the better you understand yourself, the better you can position yourself to do things that fit your personality and your tendencies, and the better you can position yourself in places in which you can be at your best. So if you tend to be an extroverted person, don't sign up to be a computer coder or a video editor or a book editor, because those are very isolated tasks where you're not going to be around humans and get to talk to people at all. And if you tend to be an introverted person, don't sign up to be a salesperson or to go work at Disney World or work at the front desk of a gym, because you got to talk to people all day, every day. Now, you're a person who's going to be front facing and dealing with humans all the time. So if you don't like people, don't get in a job where you got to talk to people all the time. All right. So you need to know where you are on these scales so you can position yourself to do what best fits into your wheelhouse, so where you can be at your best. So think back into your past and your life, or even in your present, when you have been, or you know you are doing things that are like perfect for you. Like, this is the perfect job for me, perfect position for me. And ask yourself, why is this the perfect role for me? What is it about this role that really fits your personality and your needs and your desires and your skill sets? And then you need to connect those answers to these big five personality traits. So then you understand, okay, the next place I go in life, it needs to have these things, because this is the type of person I am. This will probably help you in a job interview as well. Any of you who has any coming up, like, hey, I studied the big five personality traits and I find that I'm very high in this one and this one, which means this, this, and this. So, Mr. Hiring Manager, this is why I would be good for this job, because of this skill, this skill, this skill, and how it matches these roles and these things that you need for this job. That might actually help you get the job. If that happens, make sure you send me a message and let me know, and we'll share it as a testimonial that we help somebody get a job just by sharing this material on the show. So find places where you can do the same things or get yourself into that same state of flow. And when it comes to other people, listen to how other people talk. Listen to things that other people say. Watch what other people do. All right. Are there other people out there who tell you how stressed out they are? Anybody tell you how stressed out they are? None of you has ever heard me tell you that I was stressed out, because I rarely get stressed out. I'm not that type of person. But the fact that I'm telling you that is also telling you something about me. I'm telling you where I am on the scale of neuroticism. I'm telling you that I'm low. I just told you. I've told you directly. But if you knew me and you notice that you never hear me say anything like that, that would tell you something. If you're hanging with a friend, you see that they're always talking to people. Everywhere they go, they're just trying to start conversations, and they're trying to make eye contact with everyone, and they're trying to make friends with everybody. What is that telling you? They're telling you that they're very high on the extroversion scale. They like talking to people. So if you are a type of person who doesn't like talking to people, understand that communication with people is a skill that you need in life. Doesn't have to be your skill, but you can borrow from someone else. Get that person on your team, because you need someone who is that type of person. So if it's not you, it better be somebody. So who's going to do that for you? So again, there are benefits and needs for people on both ends of each of these five traits. So this is why you need to know which ones you are, or that you can be without too much a strain on yourself, and then which ones for which you need to fill in the gaps with people who are not you, because these gaps do need to be filled, and especially given the type of business that you're doing. So if you're getting into my type of business, for example, you're going to get into the type of business that I am. You're going to be in the thought leadership space. You want to do something like professional speaking, or you want to coach people, or you want to be on platforms where people know your name and people might recognize you in public and want to talk to you and shake your hand and take pictures with you. Then first of all, you have to have some agreeableness within you, because you're going to have random people coming to you and wanting to talk to you. It doesn't mean they're going to give you all their money, but they will want to talk to you and want to connect with you because you have done something that has made them better. So you got to have some level of agreeableness in you. So even though I will put myself more towards the disagreeable side, I can be agreeable when I need to be. I know how to be that, and it doesn't bother me. It doesn't put a strain on me to be that type of person. But if it put a strain on me, I'll need to get someone around me who can be that person for me. When it comes to the neuroticism, now, this one is one that I will confidently say there's no flip side to this one. So this one, I would say get on the low end of neuroticism. You don't need someone who's on high end. You don't need someone who has these bipolar type of traits. And I say that in a tongue-in-cheek type of way. But no, you don't need that in your life. So if you don't have anyone who's like that, that's, I think you'll be all right. Or I think you'll survive. When it comes to openness, though, you need this person. You need a person who is imaginative. You need these insights. You need these artistic type of individuals around you. I will hire someone who can edit YouTube videos for me, or maybe there's some AI software that will come along that can do it for me. I need that because I'm not that type of person. I do not want to sit in front of a computer and edit shit. But I do need someone or something that will sit on a computer and edit shit, because I need it edited. So it ain't going to be me, but it has to be somebody. So I want that artistic type of person, because they have these ideas and they're free flowing and they're just coming up with random stuff out of nowhere. There is value to having that person. You don't have to be that person, but you need that person in your life if it's not going to be you. Conscientiousness, you need someone who is very high on this. If you're going to be in business, you need someone who is very high on conscientiousness, meaning on time, on schedule, paying attention to detail. They are preparing for things ahead of time. They know what to expect and they're ready for it. And they make sure everyone around them is ready for it. They keep everyone on track and they don't let people get too far off course. You need that person around you. If you are not that type of person, you need this individual. Extroversion, another one. You need one of these people. You need a high extroversion person. You need a person who will go out and talk you up and make you look great, and make you sound great, and promote you and market you and sell the shit out of you to everybody in the world. I met some people who I've known who would be perfect in doing this role for me. I can do it very well myself. But if I could have someone doing it for me, even better. If I could have 10 people doing it for me, 10 times better. So when you're in the marketing space and you're marketing yourself, there is no downside to having more extroverts who are talking you up and making you look like a superstar to the rest of the world. All right. There is no downside to that. So as many of these people you can find, the better. All right. These people are your marketers. They're your salespeople. And the more of them you got, probably the more stuff you're going to sell. Right, you look at the biggest marketers out there, the biggest names out there. They got a bunch of people doing sales on their behalf all day, every day. So if you're going to get in business, just think about these things. These are all things that you can use. So I already recapped the 5 points for you, all 5 of them, and today's last 3, which was agreeableness, neuroticism, and what to do with these. So we can wrap it right there. So folks, make sure you text me. So you're in my text community. Get in my text every day. My number is 305-384-6894. Numbers down below in the description. And workonyourgameuniversity.com. As I just explained to you, there are certain types of personality pieces that either you or someone around you must have. You need to know what yours are so we know where we can emphasize you, at least to get started. And then over time, we're going to add in the pieces that you need to get your business where it needs to go. Go to workonyourgameuniversity.com so that you can perform at your highest level, do so consistently, and make more money in your business with my direct help as your coach. workonyourgameuniversity.com. Work on your game. Dre, all day. While you are here, don't forget to text me so you can be part of my texting community where you can ask me questions. You can share challenges with me. You are messaging me directly. You can get a direct response from me because I do read and reply to my messages. My number again, 305-384-6894. One more time, 305-384-6894. Make sure you text me because you never know when I'm going to send a message that could be the one thing you need to hear, the one thing you need to do, the one insight you need to get that could change your life. Make sure you message me, 305-384-6894. People often ask me, Dre, is there any way that I could work with you directly? Is there any way that I could talk to you on a regular basis, just ask you questions, share with you what I'm doing, and just get your feedback and your insight on where I'm going personally and professionally? The answer is yes. And the further answer is there's only one place to do that. That is Work On Your Game University. That's the only place I do any coaching. It's the only place I work with anyone directly. All you have to do to get involved in the university is go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. There you'll see all your options, whether you want to schedule a call with us, join one of our group programs, and we go from there. I'll see you inside. Again, that's workonyourgameuniversity.com. If you're a longtime listener, you might know that I've been drinking AG1 since early 2023. Best thing about my introduction to AG1 was that I was able to eliminate all these extra supplements and pills that I was taking every single day, because AG1 is a foundational nutritional supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. AG1, since 2010, has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. Not only did I replace all those extra multivitamins and pills with AG1, but I love that every scoop also includes a bunch of other good things that you need. All you had to do is read the label. It's right there on their website, which I'll give you in a second. That includes everything you need and more every single day. And since AG1 is a supplement that I trust to provide the support that my body needs daily, and that's why I've been a partner for so long, if you want to take ownership of your health, understand it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. That's drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. Check it out and thank yourself later.